The coming presidential elections in the United States are a subject of great interest and importance to the whole world. Seldom, if ever before in history, have the policies followed by one nation had so direct and immediate an impact on the fortunes and indeed survival of other nations. Consequently, there is worldwide interest in what the decision of the majority of American voters will be, and the outcome may depend largely on the women voters. Because of the importance of their vote, we have asked representatives of three nationally known organizations, whose combined membership totals over 2 million members, to highlight certain principles for the voter to keep in mind November 2nd. You will hear tonight Miss Anna Lord Strauss, president of the League of Women Voters, with its distinguished record of contributing knowledge to the voter, which spurs intelligent action. Dr. K. Francis Scott, associate professor at Smith College, and president of the National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs, and Mrs. Hubert Good, newly elected national president of the American Legion Auxiliary. We present now Miss Anna Lord Strauss, president of the League of Women Voters, speaking from our Washington studios.
What are you doing next Tuesday? In your mind, is Tuesday, November 2nd, just another day? Or do you think of it as the day when you are given the chance to say what you want of your government? Are you one of the people who says, next Tuesday doesn't matter because we know already who's going to be elected? Let me remind you that government is more than the President of the United States. Government is building and cleaning your streets, providing education for your children. Government is protecting your life and limb. Government is safeguarding your freedom to say what you think. Government is speaking on your behalf with foreign countries. At the polls next Tuesday, you are to elect, as government officials, the men and women who are to carry out your direction. Perhaps you are thinking, how do I know which candidates best represent my point of view? Luckily for you, you still have 3 days to get information, if you have not already taken advantage of that made available by the radio, the newspapers, the magazines, and the political parties. Find out if there is a League of Women Voters in your town. Ask for its voters' service information, which is made up of nonpartisan facts about each candidate, his life, and his record to date. The candidates for president have naturally held the limelight in recent weeks because of the importance of that office, so you probably know a lot about them. But your senators and your representatives to Congress are almost equally important. It is the Congress that makes the laws, the Congress that votes the money, the Congress that approves our agreements with foreign countries. And don't forget your state and local officials. Their decisions directly affect you in your everyday life. It is important that they be wise, fair, and efficient persons. It is most important that you go to the polls next Tuesday to elect the best people to represent you in government. But next Tuesday is only the beginning. Remember that once your candidate is in office, he needs your advice, your support, and your constructive criticism. His job is to make decisions which are for the good of all the people, and he needs your help. Every day is an opportunity for you to have the fun of learning about your government. Every day is the occasion for passing on your point of view to the representatives you help to elect. Next Tuesday, the eyes of the world will be upon us. It is Election Day, the special day when you and I have a chance to prove to the world that we value the freedom we enjoy. I can hear some of you saying, "Why should I vote next Tuesday? My one vote won't mean much." But let me remind you that in the Texas primaries a few weeks ago, in that largest state in the Union, 87 votes nominated the senatorial candidate. And in Texas, nominated is as good as elected. And do you remember that in 1916, the Wilson-Hughes presidential decision hinged on the electoral vote of California? One more Republican vote, or one less Democratic, in each of California's precincts would have defeated Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Hughes would have been President of the United States. you still have the weekend to learn about the men and women who are running for office and to share this information with your friends and neighbors. It is not too late to call your party headquarters and ask if there is any last-minute work you can do to help. There is still plenty of time to ask a neighbor if he needs a ride to the polls, or another if she needs you to sit with the baby. Election day is one of the most important days in your life. Vote early next Tuesday morning.
Thank you, Miss Strauss. We return the program to New York. It is now our pleasure to present Dr. K. Francis Scott, President of the National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs.
I speak for the women who are employed or self-employed. We represent women who have developed extremely varied capacities. Not only are we to a great extent homemakers, many of us are mothers. We are taxpayers, and above all, we are income producers. Therefore, we have an enormous stake in the election. Since 1920, when we were enfranchised, our group has consistently urged active participation in elections and in government. Since women are more than one-half our country's population, and since we have more than one-half the total vote, we feel we have more than one-half the responsibility of seeing that there is good government. What has a group of employed and self-employed women to offer this country? I will go a little further than Miss Strauss and say that we, as trained women, experienced in the same fields of work as men, have something to offer in addition. We feel women have some special talents. They are, frankly, greater realists than men. All their lives, they deal with the facts of birth and death, food and shelter, care of children and the sick, more than men. They have, therefore, developed a concern with human values that is usually much greater than men have had a chance to develop. We feel, therefore, that women are needed in government. We're very proud at this moment that a woman has recently been elected as the first woman senator in her own right. We feel we are needed in government in order to balance man's concern with the impersonal factors of money and machines. We are needed to round out community life to complete the picture of human living in a community. So our group believes firmly in women voting. We also believe in putting women into office, and we believe women should be in policy-making posts, not merely for the sake of recognition of women, but because they have something to contribute to the community. Up until now, women have not had the training and experience that will fit them in any large numbers to take part in political activity or in government posts. At Smith College, the classes in government are taught the organization of political parties, and during elections are assigned to work actively with the local party committees in the city of Northampton, Massachusetts. They work in headquarters. They ring doorbells. They work at the polls, and all as a part of their education. From such training, they will know how to enter political parties in their future homes and know the process by which candidates are nominated and elected. Not only do we as an organization pledge our members to vote next Tuesday, but we would also like to appeal especially to new voters who have never gone to the polls. Every 4 years, approximately one-fourth of those eligible to vote are 21 or just over. That group should go to the polls this time without fail. There's nothing difficult or mysterious about voting. And the first vote one casts, especially in a presidential year, makes a milestone in one's life that one never forgets.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. It is now our privilege to present Mrs. Hubert Good, National President of the American Legion Auxiliary.
Millions of young men and women will vote for the first time next week, and I have every confidence they will vote American. When I say vote American, I mean vote for that which they believe will be in the best interest of our country. A large majority of these first voters are veterans, and what they do at the polls will play a big part in determining the outcome of the election. Veterans are particularly concerned that we win the peace in order that their lives will not be interrupted again. These men who fought overseas returned to face new and serious problems. One of the most shameful conditions in America today is the lack of adequate housing for these returned veterans, and the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary intend to do everything in their power to get helpful housing legislation passed by the new Congress. Another sobering result of World War II is the large number of disabled men who now fill our veterans' hospitals. These men who have faced war and lived through it, these men who have come home physically handicapped, they realize the deep importance of maintaining peace in the world. Thus, it becomes necessary that they examine the issues carefully and evaluate them in terms of their future security. For we must select the very finest men and women to be our leaders in these chaotic times. And it is up to the people to make these selections. No one can afford any longer not to take an active part in politics and government. Each man and woman must accept full responsibility for citizenship. This means a knowledge of the issues as well as the records and promises of the candidates, for intelligent decisions can be based only on this knowledge. It is not enough to vote for presidential electors. One must vote all down the line for senators, congressmen, judges, and local officials. A good citizen realizes the importance of every public office. Veterans and their families have certain needs that are about the same as those of every citizen. Housing, employment, education, old age security, opportunity. Many of these needs will be met through enabling legislation permitting certain changes in our social forces that will make the lot of the average citizen better. Therefore, veterans must think before they cast their votes for members of the United States Senate and House of Representatives. I am one of those who believe that patriotism and good citizenship are not limited to any one political party. I feel that the most important thing is to vote according to your convictions, whatever they may be. Recently, I read a note from the head of a large organization telling his staff that Tuesday, November 2nd, the offices would be closed so that everyone would have ample time to vote. He made no attempt to tell them how to vote, for that is not the American way. He merely appealed to all to vote, reminding them that this is not only a privilege enjoyed by all Americans, but it is today a grave and serious responsibility. Your ballot is secret. No one knows how you vote, no one but you and your conscience. You can't get away from that invisible presence which enters the voting booth with you, your conscience. Listen to that still small voice and you'll know how to vote. For an America that is safe at home and capable of helping keep the peace abroad. Consider your selections carefully before you enter the polling place. Remember this, it takes less than 5 minutes to vote, but those 5 minutes you give on election day to prove your belief in American principles may have a lifetime effect that will influence coming generations.
Thank you, Mrs. Good. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard three presidents of nationally known organizations outlining ways in which the average voter can be more politically effective. Those heard on the program this evening were Miss Anna Lord Strauss, president of the League of Women Voters, Dr. K. Francis Scott, president of the National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Clubs, and Mrs. Hubert Good, national president of the American Legion Auxiliary. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.